This podcast is from the IDPF Digital Book 2012 Conference at Book Expo America.
Our next speaker is going to take things to the other end of the spectrum, away from the content and the technology, towards how consumers engage and find and engage with that content. And I'm very, very delighted to introduce Otis Chandler, who's the CEO of Goodreads. Otis?
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. As mentioned, I'm Otis Chandler. I'm the founder and CEO of Goodreads, and here to tell you a little bit about book discovery. But you're going to get a sneak peek because it's at the end of the slide. No one saw that. All right. So 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago, I quit my job at a hot startup in San Francisco. I guess like the last speaker, I'm another Silicon Valley guy. And we decided to start a book startup. And that might have sounded kind of silly, but the startup that I was coming from was building online viral consumer experiences. We were building social networks and dating sites, to be specific. And I had this notion that social was going to end up being a better way of discovering online content than anything else. And you know, even in 2006, you could kind of see that starting to be true. So I spent a year and a half in my living room coding subsequently and didn't come out very much and didn't have much of a social life. But I got Goodreads launched and up to 100,000 users all on my own before I did any hiring or raising of venture capital. And it's been a phenomenal road, and it's an honor to be in front of, you know, and been learning about for 5 years this book industry that's been in existence for hundreds of years. And what Goodreads has really become is a better way of discovering books online. We've got something like 9 million users registered for the site who are all discovering books, and we've got so much data around it that we found our business model was actually not in the selling of books, but in the marketing of books. So we work with all the major houses on the marketing side, helping them promote their books. And we've got a ton of data around what consumers read and how to promote and market and launch your titles. So I'm going to walk you through a bit about who are our users and where are they finding books, and also give you some interesting case studies around how to launch a title and how you can really, as marketers, accelerate and amplify that launch process. So let's dive right in. So as I mentioned, Goodreads is the world's largest site for readers and book recommendations in the world. 9 million registered readers. We are firstly a social network. So readers are adding friends, adding authors as friends, and all that kind of good stuff. Because we really started around the belief that friends are the best way to find a good book. Our thinking has evolved, which I'll get into. Our readers are also making recommendations, writing book reviews, building their virtual shelves, and joining book clubs and discussing books, and all kinds of fun social stuff around reading. And we've accumulated a lot of traffic in the last few years. We are a U.S. top 10 social network, according to Comscore in April. So as I mentioned, we are all about discovery. Everything we do at Goodreads centers around helping people find books that they're going to love and sharing those books with their friends. We've got a ton of people using Goodreads to catalog their books and share what they're reading with friends. So this is a graph showing you the number of books being shelved on our site in the past few years. So you can see we've got 315 million books that are on members' shelves. And last year we had a really phenomenal breakout year, over 110 million books shelved. This year we're growing at a clip of 17 million a month, and we're set to blow last year out of the water. And this is important to realize because this gives us insight into reading behavior that pretty much nobody else has. So 6 million of those 17 million books discovered a month are put on what we call the to-read shelf. And this is a shelf that is a special shelf because it means I found a book, it sounds interesting, I've decided I now want to read it, I'm going to put it on your to-read shelf. And it's kind of like a reading cue. So when I go to the library, when I go to the bookstore, when I go to Amazon to purchase, I know what the books are I want to read next because they're on my to-read shelf. And 6 million a month gives us a lot of insight into what people are wanting to read. So to give you some context, that pretty much means every second of the day, there are two books being added as to-read on Goodreads. So we took a hard look at what are those 6 million books look like? What are they? And we found that they are incredibly long tail. This is a graph showing you the long tail. You can see the head of the tail is highlighted there in the middle. And that only represents the top 40 books. And those 40 books represent about 5% of the books added to ToRead. And you can probably guess the names of those titles. You know, it's 50 Shades and Hunger Games and Twilight and Harry Potter and so forth. But what was more impressive was the bottom, so the long tail on the bottom there. That's showing you the top 5,000 books, which only represent 56% of the books marked as ToRead. So that means 44% of the books we couldn't even fit on the graph. They go, you know, way out that way, probably a couple miles. And these top 5,000 books, in terms of unique titles, I think we have 391,000 unique titles that were marked as ToRead. So that's only showing you 0.1% of the unique titles. So everyone says books are a long tail business, and it's indeed true. So I wanted to take a step back and just talk about this word discovery. It seems to be a magical word. Everyone is talking about book discovery and authors connecting with readers. And I think the reason that this is true is because in an increasingly digital era, no one is really sure how discovery is going to happen. So right in the old world, people would go into a bookstore, maybe with a notion of what they want to buy, maybe not. And they'd usually walk out with two or three things. There was this serendipitous discovery that was really crucial to the process of driving book sales, and libraries and bookstores were really well set up to do that. And so I think the question is facing the industry is how is that going to happen online? And I think we've really been innovating on building what I'll call social discovery to really kind of invent new ways to discover books. So I'll dive into some ways we're doing that. So we took a hard look at where on Goodreads did people find those 6 million books that were marked as ToRead last month. And this is a pie chart showing you areas of the site where they were found. And I'll highlight a couple things here and then dive more into them. So the first one, we all know word of mouth is the most powerful marketing tool there is, and it's definitely true on Goodreads. The top way people are finding books is search. That's search on Goodreads, so friend tells you, oh my God, you got to read Ready Player One, and he might have told you that in person, he might have been on a blog or a tweet or a Facebook post or anywhere, and you come to Goodreads and you type in Ready Player One, and you put the book on your ToRead shelf, because it's a book you've come to Goodreads knowing you want to check out or knowing you want to read. And then friend updates in the red there, that's, if I add Ready Player One and you're friends with me on Goodreads, you're going to see that I've read it. If we're friends on Facebook, because we're very tightly integrated with Facebook, you might going to see I've read it. You click from there, and now you've added it, and that's friend updates. A lot of people are adding books in from registration. And this is not a surprise because we are registering quite a lot of users lately. And essentially what we've tried to do when you sign up for Goodreads New is we've tried to build this experience where you can catalog all the books that you have ever read. And not everybody does that, but for those who do go down the path, it's a very fun kind of emotional experience, right? If you think back to who you were in junior high, who you were in high school, who you were, you know, in college and afterwards, the books you read at those times define you. And going back through those books is kind of like reliving your life in a way. So I get friends all the time who told me, dude, I signed up for your site the other day and I spent 4 hours during the middle of my work week just cataloging everything I've ever read, and it was a lot of fun, and I can't believe you made me waste a work day. But I think that's why users really get into that registration flow. We've got a phenomenal recommendation engine. They're in the yellow, and that's about 13% of our books being added to ToRead coming from that. And I'll just tell you more about that in a second. And then we got a ton of ways for users to browse books. And Goodreads is, by the way, all community-powered. So we've got a ton of lists, a ton of genres. We do not have any editors curating these things. We have crowdsourced it all, and our crowdsourced the policing of that crowdsourcing. So it works really well, and it really creates a lot of interesting creative content. And those also drive a lot of discovery. So here's a graph that's, I think, a pretty telling graph. So this is showing the popularity of books added to Goodreads from our registration flow, which, remember, is seeded with popular books, so it's going to be all popular books, versus search, which is word of mouth, as I mentioned. And on Goodreads, basically, if a book has 10,000 ratings or above, it's a pretty big book. So you can see here, search pretty much starts at 10,000 and goes to the right, whereas registration, and then search is kind of 10,000 and below. So that really shows you that when people are searching for books, it's very long tail. And notice it goes all the way down into books that are practically unknown, unrated. So search really drives long tail discovery, which is important to remember when you're just, if you're starting there on the far left with an unknown book, you know, word of mouth is where you need to be focusing on. Okay, so our recommendation engine, which, remember, drove 13% of discovery. So the story there is, I mentioned earlier, I started Goodreads out of belief that friend recommendations are best. There's nothing beats a recommendation from a friend to read a book, and that's really what you want to see. But we realized there's a hole in that theory. And the hole is, your friends aren't always reading interesting things. Maybe you have better friends than I do, but sometimes you're just in the mood for something and none of your friends have got a good solution for you. So what do you do in that case? You start browsing around. So Goodreads has this fantastic community. Even last year, we were 6 million registered users last year. Even last year, you could spend a lot of time diving through those 6 million profiles, seeing who had interesting shelves, browsing them, finding interesting reads. And that's what I had done over 4 years of working on the site. So I didn't think that there was a need for anything better. But for everybody else, you know, there's a saying in Silicon Valley, internet users are lazy. They're darn lazy. They don't want to spend hours diving through shelves and looking through things. They want the answer instantly, right? They want 1,000,002 results from Google in 0.4 seconds. So you got to take the work out and do it for them. And the other thing with a recommendation engine is it's all about the data. So, and e-commerce sites are pretty much the only ones who do recommendations slightly well, but their data is limited to what you bought. And that would work for you maybe if you'd bought everything you'd ever read on an e-commerce platform, but most of us buy from various sources. We get books from friends, libraries, all kinds of stuff. So it really doesn't work very well. So last year I was approached by a couple guys who were a spin out of the Netflix second place prize, and they had spent 3 years building a recommendation engine for books based on that algorithm, and also based on the fact that they were a PhD from Stanford and the guy who invented the Zestimate for Zillow. So they were smart guys. And they saw that this was a match made in heaven because we had a tremendous amount of data and they had a tremendously complicated but brilliant algorithm. So we acquired that company, we launched, put it together, we took our massive data set of 300 million books added and all kinds of tags and shelves and lists and other stuff, and we put that into a massive matrix. And that matrix is about 20 billion data points big. And what happens when you go to Goodreads recommendations is we look through that matrix and find personalized recommendations from you. And we launched this in September 2011, September of last year, and the result was an instant success. We had a 60% increase in books discovered in the months following. And what I love about this algorithm is it's a taste-based algorithm. It's not a computer trying to tell you what to read. It's a computer looking at the tastes of millions of users and comparing them to yours and suggesting new books. So I went to the recommendation engine, and I've read a bunch of biographies lately, and it noticed that. So it looked at all the other people who've read the same biographies as I have, looked at what else they've read that I haven't, suggest me those books. And it even worked while I was building this presentation. I noticed that book Pixar there on the right, which came up because I had recently read Steve Jobs, and Steve Jobs was very involved with the founding of Pixar, and that book is now on my to-read list. So the thing about recommendations is they're designed to hit a mid-list sweet spot, and this graph shows you that they are. So again, this is comparing registration, which remember was popular books, with books added from recommendations, and you can see the center of that graph has shifted way to the left. So you can see, number 10,000 was our market popularity. These books are all 10,000 and below. So we're definitely hitting a nice mid-list sweet spot, and very helpful for the backlist. Now, one other thing I wanted to point out here is you'll notice it drops off sharply at a couple hundred ratings. And the reason for that is that our algorithm needs a certain minimum threshold of ratings in order to be statistically confident to recommend who should read a particular book. So until a book has a couple hundred ratings, we really can't do much for it in the recommendation engine. So the lesson there is, of course, the faster you get your book to a couple hundred ratings, the better it is for you, and which I'll show more clearly in a second. This is a great example of the power of a recommendation engine. This is a graph showing the books added per day for a backlist bestseller called Molokai, which was published in 2004. And this is a graph showing the number of ads per day on Goodreads through the launch of our recommendation engine, which, remember, was last September. And you can see before the launch, it was getting about 10 to 20 people a day were adding it. And you know, the big spike is our launch. We did a lot of press. We emailed our users. It was a really big deal for us. We really pushed it hard, the recommendation engine. But the key here is after that, you can see the book plateaued on a new level, which is much higher, 90 to 100 people adding it per day. And we saw this exact same chart across hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of titles that were in the mid list because the recommendation engine was really driving that discovery. List and genre browsing. So these account for 16% of the books that are added on Goodreads. And the thing to realize about these is they're in the hands of our users. I mentioned these are community curated lists. So at some point, somebody made a list called Silicon Valley and seeded it with a couple books about Silicon Valley. And of course, it's no surprise that Steve Jobs is dominating the top of that list. So if you're like me and you just finished Steve Jobs' book and you were on that page writing your review, you might see this list and you might think, oh, I'm kind of curious. I love reading about entrepreneurs and hackers. Let me see what else is on there. And you're probably going to find at the top of that list some other popular books. But as you drill down, you're probably going to find, you know, more rare, more mid-list, more backlist books. So lists and genre browsing really drive a lot of mid-list and popular book discovery. And the key to them, again, is the earlier you get your book into the hands of the power users who are going to put it on the right lists, put it in the right genres, the earlier that drives discovery and the higher on those lists you'll be, which is good for you. Oh, and then, well, right, the chart just shows you, as I said, popular mid-list. So I also wanted to point out that it's not just Goodreads. We are deeply integrated with Facebook. In fact, in January of this year, we were one of 60 apps, along with Spotify and Flickster and Rotten Tomatoes and a whole bunch of other apps, to launch as a Facebook timeline partner. And since then, we've seen about 440% increase in our usage of our app on Facebook. And essentially, all this is letting members take the books that they've rated, reviewed, shelved on Goodreads, and share them on Facebook. And members are doing this in droves. We're seeing currently about 10 million books shared on Facebook a month, and those 10 million books are generating an extra 220 million impressions on Facebook as they get shared around people's news feeds and profiles. So it really amplifies the discovery of those books. Okay, now to the fun stuff. Who here has heard of 50 Shades? No, just kidding. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with 50 Shades. 50 Shades is an interesting case study because it actually, to a large degree, got its start on Goodreads. And we wanted to take a little bit of a look at its early days and see if we can derive some interesting learnings from this. So this is a graph showing the books added for 50 Shades, and you can see it's gone from complete unknown to, you know, massive, massive bestseller with 40,000 ads a day on Goodreads. And it all started for us when it was picked, our editor picked it as a 2011 Choice Award nominee, which is a big Choice Awards is a big contest we do every November. And our editor picks 15 books in every genre, and then it's kind of open voting after that. And she picked 50 Shades. Well, I'll get into why she picked it. So in November, it had about 1,000 ratings, which is not a lot. It was still a pretty unknown title with only 1,000 ratings. But after that, you can kind of see it starts building more and more and more traction on Goodreads. And then, of course, on March 1st, the Today Show picked it up, and it exploded from there. And a lot of the press that came out around right after the Today Show picked it up actually gave Goodreads credit for making the viral phenomenon or starting that process. So we wanted to look at the period before we picked it as a 2011 Choice Awards and see what happened there. How did this book get so popular? So here's a blow-up of that period. And you can kind of see, okay, so the book is published on June 20th, and it gets a bit of a spike. And then about a week later, one of our Goodreads book clubs, we have a whole section of online book clubs, picks it up to start reading. And this is a group called the Romance Readers Reading Challenges. And they've got about 4,500 people in that group. And they read a book a month. And so they selected it. And then you can kind of see, you know, still staying mellow as these people are reading it. And then about a month later, you can see when they finished it, and now they've all read it and reviewed it and discussed it. That's when it also starts really picking up. The other smart thing this author did is the second spike over here is she published book two right in the middle of that, which I heard the earlier author was also doing. Okay, so then in October, another one of our bigger, this one's an erotica group, not safe for work, don't go there. Erotica Enchant starts reading 50 Shades. And again, you can kind of see a month later after they read it, it starts picking up even more. And that's the period right at the end there where our editor notices this book has only got 1,000 ratings on Goodreads, but it's got one of the highest average ratings in the romance category she's ever seen, and the reviews of it are all crazy, wild, rave reviews. So that's why she selected it and ended up winning second. So I think the lesson here for us was these communities are full of avid romance readers, and putting the book into the right hands, into their hands, is what seeds all the hype and the buzz. So it's worth taking a little bit of a closer look at one of these. So this is the aforementioned group that picked it up first. Romance Readers Reading Challenge. I find that hard to say. Readers Reading Challenges. So again, this is a community-moderated group. The moderators are shown up there on the left. Yiz the Wiz and Rosie. They're just regular members who love romance and decided to start a book club that got 4,800 people strong. And they pick typically two books a month, and they do a whole lot of online discussion of those books and all kinds of other things. We have 20,000 of these kind of book clubs on Goodreads. Not all of them are this big, but lots of people are using Goodreads for this kind of stuff. So if you're a marketer, I know you're now thinking, wow, I'm going to go in there and start leveraging it. Let me give you some tips for how to do that. Our biggest advice is follow the groups in your genre. You need to get into Goodreads, figure out who are the groups that are reading the books that are similar to your book, your comp titles, etc. And just pay attention to what they're doing. There may be all kinds of opportunities with depending on what they're reading. For instance, if you notice they happen to be reading a book that's one of your books, there's all kinds of ways you can leverage that, such as offering them exclusive content, actually offering them the author. E.L. James, the author of 50 Shades, actually participated in another romance group that picked her book up in January on Goodreads. And some of our other bigger groups are able to pull in best-selling authors like Audrey Niffenegger in all by themselves because they're so big. Also, it's very important. These groups all have group rules, and they don't like spam. So just the same as you wouldn't walk into someone's living room who was hosting a book club and start touting a book, don't walk into these groups and start touting a book. You know, there's a lot of misguided authors who try to do that, and it's created a not good situation for many of the groups, so they have strict rules around, please don't do that. A lot of them actually will create a particular forum over on the side for that kind of stuff. But our best advice is, if you have something interesting to offer the group, approach the moderator directly. A lot of the moderators of the bigger groups are already being approached by publishers, and they're definitely going to be very willing to work with you to do stuff. Another trend we're seeing is that some of these other bigger groups are really becoming tastemakers in their own little genres. You could call them, I guess, mini Oprahs of their own genres. And by the way, it's great to see that Oprah's back. That's kind of an interesting development this week. Particularly interesting to see that she's doing it all online in a book club 2.0 formula that to us sounds pretty familiar since it's exactly what we're doing. So taking you through two of these more influential groups. The first one is a group called Vaginal Fantasy Hangout. I was wondering if people would laugh when I said that. It's a real genre, I swear. I don't read it. It's not my genre, but apparently it has something to do with leading a strong female protagonist. But anyways, this group is run by a Hollywood celebrity named Felicia Day, who's got a lot of popularity on social media and through her TV show. And they've got about 3,500 members. And every time Felicia picks a book for this group, or he talks about a book for this group, we're able to see big spikes. Every time I check my traffic referrals from Facebook, I see books that she's added. So it's really been interesting to watch the influence in that really specific genre that she's been able to have. And then the below one is The Sword and Laser, which is one of my favorite groups on Goodreads. And this is a sci-fi fantasy group run by kind of Silicon Valley tech blogger celebrity Veronica Belmont. And her group is interesting. They have about 9,000 members. And her group is interesting because they're actually doing a full-on professionally produced video show every month where they talk about the last book and interview the author. They just had Lev Grossman in, so they're getting some really big names. And similar to Felicia Day's group, every time they pick a book, it gets massive spikes in traction. And also, I thought it was interesting to note that the last two books these groups read were published in 2003 and 1990, so definitely generating lots of awareness, not just for new titles, but also for backlist titles. All right, please don't crucify me for talking about our business model on this, but I did feel, given that we're talking about marketing and that marketing is our business, you guys should know if you're not aware of what we do. So our business model is around selling these book launch packages. We're working with all major publishers and many mid-major publishers to do this. And basically the goal is really build buzz and increase user engagement around the launch of a book. And I'll show you a good example in a second. And there's a whole bunch of tools we can use to do this. The best ones are run giveaways early before the launch to build reviews and buzz. You know, the biggest thing we can do is deep targeted ads. So because the experience of Goodreads is putting into the site what you've read, we can target directly to those users. So if you want to reach James Patterson readers, if you want to reach Stieg Larsson's readers, we can put your ads directly in front of those people. So I've got to move fast, so I'm going to skip the other two of those. So this is my favorite slide of the presentation. So I'm going to walk you through how a best-selling book was discovered and how they use some little knobs and levers to amplify its traction. So we're going to take a look at The Power of Habit, which is a best-selling nonfiction book. And here's an interesting graph showing the number of the ads on Goodreads and where they came from. So first thing to point out is instead of one giveaway, which is kind of popular for our publishers, these guys ran three. They did the first one a month before launch. And you can see there it generated a bunch of people putting it on ToRead. Another one, sorry, that was 2 months before launch. Another one a month before launch turned yellow. Another one a month before launch, and then another one leading right into the launch, which is that spike right before the big spike. And so by the time these guys launched, they had... We lost that slide. By the time these guys launched, they had 26 reviews, a lot of positive buzz about the site, about the book, and you can notice even there with the red starting to show up, people were already reading it. Let me finish this slide. Okay, so when the book launched, there on the left, you can see, as I mentioned, it's already got people reading it on the day of publication date, and then... You know, they must have done something on the day of publication to get a bit of a spike. A week later, the book appears on NPR, or the author appears on NPR, and you get a massive spike. Now, another thing happens on that same day, which is in the green. It's selected to be a mover and shaker in our newsletter, which goes out to all 9 million members, and you can see that generates a massive spike. And it would not have gotten onto our editor's radar to be a mover and shaker in the newsletter if it had not done giveaways early and gotten so much positive traction early. And then another thing happens. So as the newsletter starts stop sending, we send it over 2 weeks, so you can see the green dying away. You can see the blue kicking in, and that's our recommendation engine kicking in. So finally, the book reached that minimum threshold I talked about, and now it's got enough traction where we can recommend it confidently to people who are going to like it, and you can see that's just further amplifying the discovery of this book. Skipping ahead to this massive spike in the middle, or on the right, this is a sponsored campaign that the publisher did. They came in and did a one-day homepage roadblock plus sponsored poll, which generates a lot of awareness. The sponsored polls are very engaging because they engage you into the content of the poll, and then when you answer it, it pitches the content of the book. So you can see the brown are ads from the poll. The orange are ads from friends of the people who answered the poll. The blue are a recommendation engine, further amplifying that. And then there's some other noise further amplifying that. So I think this is a great example of how all the things stack up and amplify each other. And then, of course, you can see afterwards, we came out again on a higher plateau. So I hope this gives you a great example of a lot of the ways that you can use the bells and knobs on Goodreads to amplify book discovery. So it sounds like we're out of time. All right, I'm being cut off. You don't get to see these. So I'll just leave you with one conclusion. Your goal as marketers is really to maximize touch points at launch. The more a person hears about a book, the more they're likely to buy it, and they need to hear about it 3 to 5 times before they're kind of going to get it to that decision where they're going to buy it. So our advice is the earlier you can find the audience, existing fans of the authors, comp fans, etc., the better, and then figure out how you get that book into those people's hands as early as possible, because as you've seen through that example, the earlier the better, because those things really can amplify. So I'm done. Thank you very much.